wouldn't tell us, cause you never know. Would you quit? Woman of so hard to split. Now you strike if you can't hit. Heed is hurt and love is rare. Before you think you can, you better beware. You know you're feeling you up and you're smelly and flat. Creepy and sneaky, feeling so bad. You know your baby wants you to do it one more time. But the beast with your food hang down so fine. Sometimes you wonder, honey, is this life before death? Too much shit going around in your head. But I get along without you very well. Of course I do. And the lonely brain, it's the brain that leaves you down. And so does the rain.
Sigue todo lo mambero, aquí mi micrófono que llegó el primero. We fucking the club que quiero, es porque mueve el esqueleto entero. Ahora me persigue todo lo mambero, aquí mi micrófono que llegó el primero. We fucking the club que quiero, es porque mueve el esqueleto entero. Y gente me persigue en la calle con rabia, pero no consigue lo que lo mega manda. Evolucionando el mambo. El tipo que está gustando y un poquito de mambo y un poquito de pa. Si tú quieres esto, ven y échate pa' acá. Yo tengo el meneo que te pone a gozar. Esto es pa' bailar, esta vaina es pa' perrear. Ahora me persigue todo lo mambero. Y mi micrófono que llegó el primero. We fucking the club yo quiero. Es porque mueve el esqueleto entero. Ahora me persigue todo lo mambero. Y mi micrófono que llegó el primero. We fucking the club yo quiero. Es porque mueve el esqueleto entero. Están oyendo otro mambo nuevo. Allá. Ya no cabe en coco. En la mega con.
Mambo violento.
El
fuerte.
Estreno.
En el coco.
En déjà vu, en déjà vu. Ponle mambo, ponle mambo.
Otra mezcla y el Freesound en vivo por el Freesound.
¡Vamos al mambo! Estreno nacional, pero bien. Vamos al cuarillo de nuevo.
Ahora me persigue todos los mamberos. Tiene micrófono que llegó el primero. With fucking the club yo quiero. Es pa' que mueve el esqueleto entero. No fue mala fe lo que yo te tiré. El hombre se pegó con la vaina como es. Es simplemente que yo tengo el don pa' controlarle en el micrófono. Y al menor se lo está gozando. Y el Omega es que tiene el mando. Y mi Yolito ya me está chequeando. Esto es lo nuevo, lo que está arrollando. Si me están grabando es porque estoy galante. Y el Omega pasito de gigante. Este mambo vino nuevo, esto es pa' gozar. Y esta vaina es pa' vacilar. Ahora me persigue todos los mamberos. Y mi micrófono que llegó el primero. Es pa' que mueve el esqueleto entero. Y ahora me persiguen todos los mamberos. Aquí mi micrófono que llegó el primero. Wait fucking the club yo quiero. Es pa' que mueve el esqueleto. Ponle mambo. Están oyendo otro mambo nuevo. Es jugando que me sale. Vamos allá. Lo mato tranquilito. Pon la mambo, vamos allá.
Otra mezcla realizada en vivo por el Freesound.
¿Quién podrá detenerme? Improvisando, papá. ¿Hay bujía o no? Para ello.
Sigue todo lo mampero. Si mi micrófono que llegó el primero. Wait fucking the club yo quiero. Es pa' que mueve el esqueleto entero. Yo que estoy controlando el mambo, que me va a creer que estoy improvisando, pero esto me sale ahora mismo del cerebro. Y yo lo mega es que tiene flow perro. La vaina es pa' gozar, esta vaina es pa' perrear. Y yo lo mega es que te pone a tripía. El mambo moderno con el saoco, el que te deja loco.
Oye, coco.
Ahora me persigue todos los mamberos. Tiene micrófono que llegó el primero. El fucking the club yo quiero. Es pa' que mueve el esqueleto entero.
Oye, papi, oye.
Nació pegado. Ese ameso, el mambo.
Otra mezcla realizada en vivo por el Freesound.
Pero bien.
Thank you.
They said there'll be snow at Christmas. They said there'll be peace on earth. But instead it just kept on raining. A veil of tears for the virgin birth. I remember one Christmas morning, a winter's light and a distant choir, and the peal of a bell and that Christmas tree smell, and eyes full of tinsel and fire. They sold me a dream of Christmas. They sold me a silent night. They told me a fairy story till I believed in the Israelite. And I believed in Father Christmas. I looked to the sky with excited eyes. Then I woke with a yawn in the first light of dawn. I saw him and through his disguise. I wish you a hopeful Christmas. I wish you a brave new year. All anguish, pain and sadness, leave your heart and let your road be clear. They said there'd be snow at Christmas. They said there'd be peace on earth. Hallelujah, Noel, be it heaven or hell, the Christmas we get we deserve.
The number you have reached, 788-8888, is not in service. If you feel you have reached this recording in error, please check the number and dial again. Thank you. Please hang up and try your call again. If you need help, hang up and dial the operator for assistance. This is a recording.
And a very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Hook. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you. Joined tonight by... there's nobody here. Okay, all the way in the distance. I see Alex in Signal Land. Alex, are you there? Hang on. I can bring you up. Are you there, Alex?
I am indeed here. It's just you and I, huh?
It is just you and me. Wow. I've been meaning to have a talk with you, and this is a good opportunity to do that.
Why not?
Yeah. Just to explain to everybody, Robin Gila out, and Kyle is in Florida right now. He'll be back next week. You come to realize how much he does as far as setting up all the broadcasting and phone calls and things like that. So basically what I have to do tonight is run around like a crazy person from one side of the studio to the other, plugging things in and hitting buttons. So I'm going to need you, Alex, to fill in the inevitable gaps that will happen when I'm doing that.
Yeah, well, I'm used to that.
It took about 30 minutes of instruction just to get me to this point where I could get everything to start properly. So let's hope that we make it to the end. Thank you, Kyle, for all the help that you offered tonight. He has all these details, basically telling me how to get through a particular program. There's a red button on the upper right and a green flashing button on the bottom left, and then you'll hit this and you'll get an error, but it'll do that. It's just, I can't remember one thing to the next, and he's just able to walk me through that. So again, we all owe him a debt of thanks for making this show possible. And next week, everybody will be back, I hope. So we'll see about that. We've got some things to talk about. We will be taking phone calls tonight. This is a call-in show for WBAI listeners. We didn't even promote this show on the internet. The reason being, I wasn't sure there was going to be a show because there are so many little technical details that have to be tended to before we actually get on the air. And fortunately, I think we actually made it. So we will be taking phone calls in just a little bit. We'll give the phone number out, so no need to call yet. So before that, though, we have some updates. First of all, there was no show the last couple of weeks, and the reason for that was because, a bunch of us were already out, and then Kyle and I went up to visit our good friend Greg Newby in Whitehorse, Yukon, who is suffering from pancreatic cancer. He's currently in hospice, and it was an important trip. We had to make it. We had to see him. And of course, it's heartbreaking seeing what he's going through, and it's just it makes you angry. It makes you cherish everything that you have, and it just makes you put yourself in perspective as to where we all fit in, how powerless we ultimately are, and how whatever road it is we're on, we're all on that road, and. Let's just hope there's vast mysteries to solve in the future, in the forever future. Greg is still Greg. He has his sense of humor. He actually was walking us through this more than we were helping him, I think, because that's the person he is. Where he is just so filled with, I want to say, sanity, and calmness. And to be put in this situation, especially somebody who took such good care of himself, to have this happen, it's just, I'm gobsmacked by the whole thing. There's just no other phrase that works. I'm glad we went up there. We got to see him. It was a difficult trip. But we saw lots and lots of amazing and heartening things. We were up in Canada on Reconciliation Day, where basically all the horrors that took place in Canada against the Native people are recognized and noted and discussed. And, it doesn't fix anything, but it sure does make people informed. And when you see school kids making little Valentines to put in front of their elementary school with all kinds of messages of hope and inspiration and love, you wonder why that is so hard for us to do here, how hard it is for us to admit our wrongdoings and to take significant steps in addressing them and fixing them and making sure they never happen again. Instead, it feels like we're repeating third grade. We have to just go back and learn it all over again. And unfortunately, I see a reminder of that about every 10 minutes. So we were up in Canada for a bit, came down to Seattle. We took we actually took three trains across the country. Train from Seattle to Chicago. Then I took a train from Chicago to New York, and Kyle took a train from Chicago to Florida. And trains are the way to get around. They really are. That's how you meet people. We talked to so many interesting people on the train, because you basically get seated with complete strangers at the three meals that you get when you do a cross-country trip like that. And you don't always meet people that you agree with, but you do want to hear their story. And you do want to have that that shared experience of seeing the countryside go by. And you don't get that on an airplane. I've said this before. When I'm on an airplane, I don't talk to anybody. I'm just basically, you know, I've got this silent dialogue with, you know, whatever technology or being or whatever is controlling things, saying, please get me through this. And I'm just very happy when we land. On a train, though, you know, I'm a lot more social. I actually start conversations with people, and it's rather unusual to see. So I really recommend it. There are lots of great long distance train routes, and lots of good rail in the country to start with. A lot of potential. So we came out of it, I think, a bit more optimistic than we went into it. But still, it was a very difficult trip, and a very important one for us.
Yeah, adding to that, Emmanuel, I want to thank the listeners and everybody that wrote in to tell, to tell stories about Greg, or to wish him well. And there were so many of you that wrote in these amazing anecdotes about how he inspired you, and I'm sure that you passed them all on to Greg as well, Emmanuel. And
he's seen everyone, and he is so happy whenever he sees one. So if you have a message for Greg, please write to us, oth@2600.com. And if you don't know who Greg is, well, you know, go into our history a little bit. There are a number of programs that he appeared on. Just look for Greg Newby in the descriptions on 2600.com, spelled N-E-W-B-Y. Also on Channel 2600 on YouTube, where all the Hope videos are. He gave a talk at most of the conferences, so you can see him there and learn something about him.
Yeah, I was really touched by the anecdotes that people had shared about him and how he inspired so many others. And I think he's just going to continue to be an inspiration for, I think, many, many years to come for all of us. And I think we're going to be channeling him during this show, during the Hope conferences, during the publication of the magazine. It's just, you know, this is a guy who's going to, I think, reverberate through the ages. He's a really extraordinary guy. But then I also shifting to the issue of trains, I was on a super cool train last week. It's called the Arlanda Express. I don't know if you can figure that out, Emmanuel, where that train would be.
Is that the one that goes to the amusement park and you have to fight a bunch of kids to get on it?
No. Oh. Hardly, yes. But good guess for, like, you know, my activities and travel.
I have some words about that train, but another time.
I would bet. So no, this is the train that goes from Stockholm Airport into the city. So Arlanda Airport in Stockholm, over into the city. And if you were to drive that, it would probably take you, I don't know, like 50 minutes. It's actually pretty far outside the city. But this train, Emmanuel, was extraordinary. Not only was it just absolutely pristine, beautiful inside, really, really nice, all these wood trim and panelings, and just really kind of modern and cool and very, very comfortable, but it went so insanely fast. It went about 120, 125 miles an hour. It didn't stop anywhere. It would take you from the airport right into the center of Stockholm in about 12 minutes or something like that. It was insanely fast. It was an extraordinary train. And I was so impressed by it. I really was. It was very, very cool. So I was in Stockholm last week. If we were on the air, I would have done the show from Stockholm.
You see, in this country, we prefer to admire the scenery as it passes by, which is why we go about 30 miles an hour and just look at every tree and every person that we pass, or sometimes they pass us. And it's I find it to be more relaxed. But yeah, you're right. I mean, it's a joke. We have to have higher speed rail in this country. No question about that. And I think, you know, the more people experience it, the more they realize how important it is and how relaxing it can be as well. Anyway, enough about that. We have some news stories, a couple of letters, and we'll take some phone calls. our friend who was on this particular program a number of weeks ago, Joshua Aaron, wrote this this app that was available for iPhones and various other Apple devices called IceBlock, where you could basically find out if ice was making an appearance in your neighborhood. Well, guess what? Apple has removed IceBlock after direct pressure from the Department of Justice. Yeah, the same people who fired Joshua's wife. It's really sad to see the capitulation. It really is. The developer of IceBlock, which is an app that lets people crowdsource sightings of ICE officials, has said he is determined to fight back after Apple removed the app from its app store. The removal came after pressure from Department of Justice officials, who basically lied through their teeth, but we'll get into that in the future, acting at the direction of Attorney General Pam Bondi. And unfortunately, I'm quoting Fox here, but that's it's a story from 404 Media, but they're quoting Fox, which basically they first reported the removal of the app. They did a little song and dance too. You know, they kind of were dancing a jig on the air. Apple told 404 Media it has removed other similar apps too. Joshua Aaron told 404 Media, "I am incredibly disappointed by Apple's actions today. Capitulating to an authoritarian regime is never the right move. IceBlock is no different from crowdsourcing speed traps, which every notable mapping application, including Apple's own Maps app, implements as part of its core services. This is protected speech under the First Amendment of the United States Constitution. We are determined to fight this with everything we have. Our mission has always been to protect our neighbors from the terror this administration continues to rain down on the people of this nation. We will not be deterred. We will not stop." Amen. And it's sad to think that they caved that easily. Yeah, it was available for quite a while. And then just a little bit of pressure from these bullies, and they folded, just like so many tech companies have been folding this year. I think we as hackers have to figure out other ways to get this information out there to help this app and other apps survive and get to the people who need that information. And before we get a flurry of letters from people saying, well, they're breaking the law and they must be captured, we're talking about people who have been in this country for decades. We're talking about people who have raised families here. They do not deserve to be thrown in the back of a van and carted off in the middle of the night and thrown in a country they've never even been to in their lives. That's not who we are. And that is not what we should be standing for. And if you tell me that they're just doing their job, I can list you a whole lot of other people who are just doing their jobs too, and their jobs sucked, and their jobs should be obliterated because they have no right to be doing this to human beings. But that's just my feeling on the matter. Hopefully, we can figure out a way to spread this information, because that's all it is. It's spreading information, saying, hey, that's over there. This group of people are here now. They are in this city. They are on that block. Is it getting to the point where we're not allowed to even tell people, person to person, what we're seeing? I mean, you know, it can get to that point. It absolutely can. In authoritarian regimes, every aspect of speech is controlled. So, yeah, it's a wish list. There are all kinds of bad, negative things happening in this country. I don't want people to feel like they don't have power to speak out and do something about this. You know, maybe you make an app, maybe you organize some kind of a gathering, maybe you just talk to people and make them feel a little bit better about where they are. Or you can show up on Saturday to one of the more than a couple of thousand No Kings rallies that are taking place all throughout this country the second time. I think this one might be even bigger. And I'll tell you, you know, that's the kind of thing that can really make you realize how many of us there are and what kind of power you actually do have. You know, we have to fight to get our rights back. We have to fight to get rid of this this feeling of terror and just the ominous gloom in the air. You know, it doesn't matter how you feel about immigration. You know, it doesn't matter how you feel about the economy. I think what we can all agree with is that it's a very negative environment right now. We're looking at people's health care costs tripling. We're looking at government shutdowns, people losing their jobs. We're looking at all kinds of other negative things that are happening as a result of bad policy. I mean, I'll say it's bad policy and immature people. And at some point, you have to say enough already. You can't break this anymore. So I think Saturday will be a good day. At least I'm looking forward to it. If you go to, you know what, I had the page in front of me. I'll find it again. There's a No Kings webpage that lists all the demonstrations that are happening. Alex, you have something to say. I'll find that while you're...
Yeah, sure. I think this whole fiasco with respect to Ice Block and Joshua Aronson, and you know, obviously we had him here. We had him at the conference over this past summer as well. And he's an extraordinary guy. He's extremely principled. He created something that had, I think, a wonderful impact on so many people's lives, right? It made people feel more secure, made them feel safe when they went outside, knowing that there weren't any ICE sightings around there. There were over 1 million users, as I understood it, of the Ice Block app. But what this really brings, I think, right to front of mind now is that we're not in control of our technology. We're not in control of our devices. These are all decisions that are coming down and made between governments and centralized platforms like Apple. If Apple can make this decision that essentially denies over 1 million people the ability to use this Ice Block app simply because Pam Bondi and the Attorney General claim that, you know, it's being used to facilitate some kind of harm to ICE agents without any actual evidence or really any support other than their say-so, that this was some kind of dangerous app, it's the problem of centralization. And we're never going to get out of this situation where our technology is controlled by others, and those others have interests. These are billionaires' interests that are very much in bed with the regulators, in bed with the government. They don't want to anger the president. They don't want to get on his bad side. And so all of these platforms are kowtowing. And this would not happen if this power system was dispersed in some way. If a unilateral decision was not able to be made by, let's say, Tim Cook or a committee at Apple or a committee at Facebook or Mark Zuckerberg himself, then we wouldn't be in this situation. If we had to abide by some kind of consensus, if we had decentralized power structures that would allow us to take more control over our devices and have more sovereignty over our data, we would be in a completely different situation than we are now. But we've created these structures. We've allowed these monsters, essentially, these platforms, to proliferate in such a way that they have such extraordinary power and they are so connected with the government that it's hard for us to disentangle ourselves from this power structure right now. So I think if we're ever going to get out of this, we need to make a push for more decentralized power structures. We need to have more user sovereignty built into the core functionality of our technologies. And I don't think that we should be allowing these platform policy decisions to dictate whether or not we have the full measure of freedom of speech that's guaranteed to us by the First Amendment. And one of the trickiest things here is that even though this was a government request, it was ultimately a decision-making power of a private party that is not subject to the strictures of the First Amendment here. So I think it's arguable whether a First Amendment claim could be made that this would violate essentially the Bill of Rights. This would be some kind of unconstitutional mandate that the government had made or unconstitutional demand on these platforms, because it wasn't a court order or something like this. It was basically a request from the government, and the platforms simply complied. That's where I think the real danger is here, is that there's no real even accountability. I think it's very questionable whether a lawsuit could even be filed, that there would be standing of a user to bring a claim that this was a First Amendment violation. So, yeah, this is problematic all around the board, and I see no end in sight.
Well, I think, you know, again, the solution is a technical one. The solution is for us to figure out a way to bypass this nonsense. You know, just like it was actually Greg Newby who figured out a way to bypass Amazon's stranglehold on publications, where, you know, we had to accept their terms to get our magazine out on the Kindle. Well, no more. Now we publish EPUBs ourselves, and you simply sideload it onto your Kindle, and you avoid Amazon altogether. Things like that. Those are the amazing solutions. That's the hacker way of dealing with these issues. Anyway, we could talk all hour about this, and we do want to take some calls, but I also want to read a couple of letters. I was just listening to the broadcast of September 24th. You're doing great. I love what you talk about. Keep it up. I think the only reason you're not flooded with positive comments all the time is because most of us assume that you're constantly being trolled and know how to handle it. Good, reasonable people are out here and listening. Keep it up. Same for Off the Wall. That's our other radio show on the other radio station. We've got a lot of work to do. We're going to fix this thing. We need you guys. I'm so sad to hear that Greg Newby is in hospice. I've never gotten to meet him, but I've seen his hope talks. There just isn't a better human. Please let him know that complete strangers love him and are grateful for everything he's done. Take care. And that letter was forwarded to Greg, and he was very thankful and happy to have seen that. And yeah, it's good to know there are people out there who support us. It is important, though, that we know you're there, you know, that we hear from you. Because, yeah, we get a lot of negative mail as well. And you better believe, and it's kind of a microcosm of society, those are the people that get heard the most. They're the ones who call C-SPAN all the time. They're the ones who take over the airwaves and take over the streets, really, you know, and they're the loudest voices. And you can be convinced quite easily that those are the only voices out there. If you don't hear some reinforcements, some positive feedback, that goes for everybody, not just for people on the radio. It goes for the people around you. So make sure you say some kind words, say some reassuring words, because we all need that right now. And if we're going to get through this thing, and we will get through this one way or another, we're going to need to work together. And that means not sniping at each other about, you know, technical differences or what you believe on one particular issue but not another. We have to get beyond that if we want any real progress. Okay, here's one more letter. Why haven't we exposed the shell game behind this election? Oh, boy. What other logical explanation is there? What seems like every day now, I find it increasingly difficult to believe the American people put this guy in office. Are we really this dense? I guess some seem to enjoy chaos and drama, or worse, watching others suffer. But where are they now? There has to be some sort of evidence of wrongdoing. It's problematic to believe 77 million of us voted for this. It's ignorant if you didn't see some version of this coming. I've never felt so embarrassed to live in the U.S. To those suffering, I'm sorry I didn't do more during the election. To those who recklessly supported him, you're getting what you paid for and should be ashamed of yourself for all the agony you've caused. A distressed U.S. citizen. Well, I hear you. I hear you. I get the anger and the frustration. I don't think there was anything particularly wrong with the election other than the way elections are run in this country. I think 77 million people really did vote this way. And it's sad to realize that. Everything that is happening right now happened because the majority of us wanted this. Maybe not this, but they wanted this particular structure and thought that maybe it wouldn't be the way it is now. That is my hope, that people didn't want specifically what is happening now. You know, they wanted immigration to be taken seriously, fine. They didn't want the terror. You know, they didn't want soldiers in cities. They didn't want people being threatened personally by the administration. You know, individual people say something controversial, and before you know it, they're being targeted by some of the most powerful people in the world. It's crazy what we have right now, and I don't think 77 million people wanted that. So, if that is the case, and I know it is the case, I hope we see more of those people who say enough is enough already. Maybe some of them in Congress. That would sure be nice. And we can fix this. We can change this. It'll take a while, And there are some things that won't be fixed very quickly, but we have to believe we can. It's that, or we just act like Apple and give up. And I don't think we want to do that. All right, now comes the fun part of the program where I get to be an octopus and be in various parts of the studio at once. And Alex, I might need you to help me out here. What I am going to do is open up the phone lines. But first, I'm going to give out the phone number, which is 802. And tell me if I'm wrong. 802-321-4225. That's our phone number, right?
That's correct.
Okay, that number has now been activated. If it rings, it will ring. I know that. I'm going to go over to the other. I'm going to go to the other side of the room right now so that I'm ready for it to ring. You say something intelligent while I'm doing that.
Yeah, sure. So why don't we go back to talking about what's going on with the platforms and these government requests? Well, we have a phone call.
Oh, my
coming.
God.
There it is.
Already. That's, hold on. I haven't gotten to the other side of the room yet.
God, that's very quick. Okay. I see. Don't struggle too much over there, Emmanuel. You might hurt yourself.
What button do I hit? Okay, I think I hit that button. And I have to reach all the way over here now and press this and say, good evening. You're on WBAI. What's on your mind?
Yes. Hi, Emmanuel.
Oh, Rebel, somehow you found us.
Yeah, I can't hear you well, but...
Okay, if you start saying you can't hear us well, we're going to make...
I know.
We're going to fix that, right, so you don't hear us at all.
Sorry, this show is a lot about rights tonight, so I'm going to say that I was able to get the iSplicer app on the Android phone on the Google App Store.
That's not the same app.
What do you mean it's not the same app?
Because that app was only available on the Apple App Store.
Oh, it was only available on Apple.
Yes, that was part of the discussion that we had.
Okay, I meant to mention that there are books in libraries. You know that some libraries in the country ban certain books.
They ban a whole lot more than that.
Well, some library. I was talking to a local librarian here in Queens, and they said there are books that are banned, and if libraries, you know, put them out, they could be subject to prosecution. I'm surprised to hear that something like that in this country.
Well, it depends. You know, it's different in different parts of the country, obviously. If you saw something like that in New York, I want to know what books we're talking about.
Right. And New York City, or the whole state of New York, I don't think it's banned, but like maybe some states down south which banned, or, uh-huh. you know,